After learning Rochelle's heart was functioning at only 20%, Ochsner's team of cardiovascular experts performed a life-saving procedure that allowed for less invasive treatment and an easier path to recovery. From comprehensive care to digital health, we're leading the way in heart health for the Gulf South and getting patients back to the people who depend on them most. Learn more at ochsner.org/cardio. Ochsner, innovating healthcare for Rochelle.
When the weather outside is frightful, the Hyundai Santa Fe is, delightful. Because it's got available H-Track all-wheel drive to make being out together better. Enter for your chance to win the newly redesigned Santa Fe, packed with all the jingle bells and whistles you need to go dashing through the snow together. To enter, visit amazon.com/Hyundai or scan the QR code on specially marked red and green Amazon boxes. No purchase necessary. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
After learning Rochelle's heart was functioning at only 20%, Ochsner's team of cardiovascular experts performed a life-saving procedure that allowed for less invasive treatment and an easier path to recovery. From comprehensive care to digital health, we're leading the way in heart health for the Gulf South and getting patients back to the people who depend on them most. Learn more at ochsner.org/cardio. Ochsner, innovating healthcare for Rochelle.
Music. Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of the NFL Wrap-Up. On this program, we're going to recap Week 14's most important games, and we're going to preview Week 15's most important games in the National Football League, plus an interview with Brian Murphy. He is the co-host of the Burgundy Network podcast. The podcast is dedicated to the Washington football team, covering all things Washington football team content-wise. Man, it's going to be a great interview, and we hope you enjoy it. And, of course, you know, as always, we've got the interview, and, of course, I have the preview, again, of Week 15's most important games. And, of course, I'll have my picks. But let's start off with a recap of the most important games from Week 14 in the National Football League. Let's start off with Thursday Night Football between the New England Patriots and the Los Angeles Rams. It was all Rams. Aaron Donald, defensively, they dominated. Great performance by the running game. The L.A. Rams beat the New England Patriots. Final score, 24-3. Next up, we go down to South Florida. The Minnesota Vikings take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Ronald Jones was effective. Tom Brady did enough to win the game. Buccaneers defense shined in this one. Tampa Bay would beat Minnesota. Final score, 26-14. On out to Kansas City and Miami. The Chiefs head return to Miami. Just the place back in February where they won the Super Bowl. It was a close game. The Dolphins gave it all they had, but in the end, it was Mahomes, Hill, Kelsey and the Chiefs. Kansas City would beat Miami. Final score, 33-27. Next game that we had was at the New Jersey Meadowlands between the Arizona Cardinals and the New York Football Giants. It was all Arizona. Kyler Murray did enough, but give credit to the Cardinals' defense. They made a stop. The Cardinals would beat the Giants. Final score, 26-7. The Washington football team defensively handled their business, beating the San Francisco 49ers. The final score, 23-15. Jalen Hurts made his first career NFL start as quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles. He was effective along with the Eagles' defense and the running attack led by Miles Sanders. Taysom Hill did all he could do, but it just wasn't enough. The Saints were embarrassed. The Eagles beat the Saints. Final score, 24-21. Sunday Night Football score saw the Pittsburgh Steelers go up against the Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen did his thing, but Stephon Diggs showed up in this game. Good stops by the defense as Buffalo Bills beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. Final score, 26-15. And what a thriller it was Monday night between the Baltimore Ravens and the Cleveland Browns. Lamar Jackson and Baker Mayfield, they both shined bright, but in the end, Baltimore would win. The final score was 47-42. And those were your scores from the most important games from Week 14 in the National Football League.
Trailing by a point. Jackson trying to throw for it, and he's got it. Marquise Brown hangs on to the football and scores. throws it to Marquise Brown, who's dropped three passes tonight. He's got a chance to be the hero.
Both Terrence Mitchell and the safety were right there, and they lost Marquise Brown. They tried to cut the ball downfield. Keep taking
it. It's Hunt again. Makes a move. First down. Touchdown. For the win. And Justin Tucker has done it for Baltimore. There are 2 seconds left on the clock.
That audio was courtesy of Monday Night Football and ESPN, and that begins my first storyline from the top three storylines from Week 14 in the NFL, the Ravens and the Browns on Monday night. You talk about a showcase of quarterback talent with Lamar Jackson and Baker Mayfield. Lamar Jackson suffered cramps early in the fourth quarter. Trace McSorley came in the game, did what he had to do. And just when Trace suffered a knee injury, there was a camera shot of Lamar running, coming out of the tunnel, and he was ready to play. And when he got back out on the field, I mean, he dazzled before going back to the locker room, and he would dazzle even more coming out of the locker room, as that highlight you heard with him throwing the touchdown pass to Marquise Brown. And then with Baker Mayfield coming in, he threw a touchdown pass to Kareem Hunt. And then Justin Tucker, who's the most accurate kicker in league history, kicking the game-winning field goal. This is what not just the NFL is all about, but this is what the AFC North is all about. Ravens, Browns, Baltimore, and Cleveland. Lamar Jackson is an all-world talent. He is – when people when the draft – was coming out in 2018, a lot of people said, oh, Lamar Jackson, he's not going to be a solid NFL player. He's not going to be a great quarterback, this, that, third, because quite frankly, he doesn't have a traditional quarterback play. He's an excellent athlete. He's got a solid arm. Again, he doesn't wow you. He wows you with numbers, not from a quarterback standpoint, but he wows you from total yardage, the complete package, throwing and running the ball. So Lamar willed his team the victory in that game. And not just give credit to the Baltimore Ravens, let's also give credit to the Cleveland Browns, because Cleveland showed a primetime worldwide audience that they're ready. Cleveland is ready to take that next step. Baker Mayfield played a tremendous game. How about the running back tandem of Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt? And let's not forget about the wide receivers that were effective with Jarvis Landry and Donovan Peoples-Jones. And defensively, they did enough to make some stops, you know, with Myles Garrett and things of that nature, even though Baltimore won 47-42. Cleveland is on the come up. This year has been the game-changing year for Cleveland to prepare them for 2021 and forward. Will Cleveland win the AFC North this year? Highly unlikely, because Pittsburgh will probably take the division. But next year is going to be a whole nother story with Odell coming back healthy. They've got the two running backs with Chubb and Hunt coming in strong. The sky is the limit for Cleveland. And as far as the Ravens and the Browns is concerned, this is quite obviously going to be a candidate for the game of the year. And what 2020 has already been a dumpster fire of a year, this was one of the few bright spots of the year. Ravens, Browns, Monday night, great game. My next storyline is going to be the Eagles quarterback situation. Jalen Hurts, in his first career NFL start, came in and had an effective performance. And the Eagles offense, I know this is only one game, but the Eagles offense, this was the best that they looked all year. They just looked different with Jalen out on the field. Carson Wentz, extraordinary talent. He can throw the ball, he can run the ball, but he's not as fast as Jalen. When Jalen is out there, things change. You expect whether you're an Eagles fan or not, the Eagles offense just flow differently against the team that had, coming into this game, New Orleans had the number one defense in the NFL, and Jalen rose to the occasion. He didn't just rise to the occasion. Miles Sanders rose to the occasion. Boston Scott made plays. The receivers made plays. Alshon Jeffrey got a touchdown. Of course, the tight ends played well with Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz. Richard Rodgers made things happen. So defensively, the Eagles held their own, but that quarterback situation made a difference. It paid off big dividends for the Eagles, and Jalen Hurts will start, have his second career start this weekend against the Arizona Cardinals. So what is the future hold for Carson Wentz? Only time will tell. There are three more games left in the season. If the Eagles, because the Eagles still have a chance to win the division, it's not over with for them just yet. So we'll have to see what happens. We'll see going forward. Everything is onward and upward for Jalen, but I know Carson, the Eagles owe him a lot of money. The question is if they do decide to trade him, which team will pick up that contract? It's very pricey. But as of now, Jalen Hurts has got that Eagles offense moving. They flow differently. It just flows different, and it's going to be trouble for opposing teams going forward. And for my final storyline, the Washington football team. They've been one of the hottest teams in the league the last 3 weeks. They beat Dallas on Thanksgiving Day. They beat the Pittsburgh Steelers, giving them their first loss of the year. And they beat a tough San Francisco 49ers team. The quarterback situation is in limbo. Alex Smith strained a calf muscle. His status is unknown for this weekend's game. Dwayne Haskins made plays in spurts. Antonio Gibson is hurt for the moment, but defensively, they are out of this world right now with Chase Young, Montez Sweat, Deron Payne, Jonathan Allen, and, of course, you got the veteran Ryan Kerrigan. Man, Chase Young has just been balling. Washington, again, offensively, it begins and ends with their running game and their tight end. But, man, defensively, they are just playing ball right now. And normally in the second half of the year, normally the real season starts. Chris Collinsworth said it best. The real season starts after Thanksgiving. That's when teams gel, they finally get their bearings down, they have some sort of connection, and also too, the weather gets colder, and this is when defensive play really steps up. And right now Washington's defensive play really stepped up in this game. They've really stepped up all year, but particularly in these last three games, well, the Washington defense has just been phenomenal. It's been great, and I'll have that more in detail on that coming up next with my interview with Brian Murphy. He is the co-host of the Burgundy Network podcast. The podcast is dedicated to highlighting Washington football team content. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we're just getting started. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to the NFL Wrap-Up.
When you're a pro, you got to do a little bit of everything. A little, and even a little. And it helps to have something that works as hard as you do. That's why Valspar has a paint for every job, every room, every time. Valspar, you make it happen, we make it possible. Pros, head to Lowe's today and talk to a pro rep about getting up to 10 free gallons of Valspar through a paint trial program. Exclusions apply. See ValsparPro.com for details.
Between prepping ingredients, setting the table, and planning your tomorrow, sometimes you need an extra hand with dinner. Delta Faucet is here to help. Just ask your connected home device to fill your pasta pot with Delta Faucet Voice IQ technology and fill it with the perfect amount of water. Done. Visit DeltaFaucet.com/VoiceIQ to see how Voice IQ can fill your dog's bowl, wash your hands, and more.
45 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure looks like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from invisible or silent.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
I can't button up a shirt. I can't run.
I've had to learn to swallow again.
That's the only movements that I have. And I'm 33, so I never see this coming.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
Had I done this, had I done that,
hell, I messed up.
Get back on your plan or talk with your doctor to create an exercise, diet, and medication plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
head to toe, everything's changed. Head to toe.
When you're a pro, you got to do a little bit of everything. A little, and even a little. And it helps to have something that works as hard as you do. That's why Valspar has a paint for every job, every room, every time. Valspar, you make it happen, we make it possible. Pros, head to Lowe's today and talk to a pro rep about getting up to 10 free gallons of Valspar through our paint trial program. Exclusions apply. See ValsparPro.com for details.
After learning Rochelle's heart was functioning at only 20%, Ochsner's team of cardiovascular experts performed a life-saving procedure that allowed for less invasive treatment and an easier path to recovery. From comprehensive care to digital health, we're leading the way in heart health for the Gulf South and getting patients back to the people who depend on them most. Learn more at ochsner.org/cardio. Ochsner, innovating healthcare for Rochelle.
Regina King for Cadillac Escalade.
Let's say you make it to the top. What's next? Relish in the glory of your accomplishment? Okay, sure, for a minute. But then you move forward. Take the 2021 Escalade. Cadillac's newest arrival is more than just a celebration of iconic luxury. It's the most technologically advanced Escalade ever. Because arriving is just the beginning.
The 2021 Cadillac Escalade. Never stop arriving.
After learning Rochelle's heart was functioning at only 20%, Ochsner's team of cardiovascular experts performed a life-saving procedure that allowed for less invasive treatment and an easier path to recovery. From comprehensive care to digital health, we're leading the way in heart health for the Gulf South and getting patients back to the people who depend on them most. Learn more at ochsner.org/cardio. Ochsner, innovating healthcare for Rochelle. After learning Rochelle's heart was functioning at only 20%, Ochsner's team of cardiovascular experts performed a life-saving procedure that allowed for less invasive treatment and an easier path to recovery. From comprehensive care to digital health, we're leading the way in heart health for the Gulf South and getting patients back to the people who depend on them most. Learn more at ochsner.org/cardio. Ochsner, innovating healthcare for Rochelle. After learning Rochelle's heart was functioning at only 20%, Ochsner's team of cardiovascular experts performed a life-saving procedure that allowed for less invasive treatment and an easier path to recovery. From comprehensive care to digital health, we're leading the way in heart health for the Gulf South and getting patients back to the people who depend on them most. Learn more at ochsner.org/cardio. Ochsner, innovating healthcare for Rochelle.
Rookie from Air.
When the weather outside is frightful, the Hyundai Santa Fe is, what's the word? Delightful. Because it's got available H-Track all-wheel drive to make being out together better. Enter for your chance to win the newly redesigned Santa Fe, packed with all the jingle bells and whistles you need to go dashing through the snow together. To enter, visit Amazon.com/Hyundai or scan the QR code on specially marked red and green Amazon boxes. No purchase necessary. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
After learning Rochelle's heart was functioning at only 20%, Ochsner's team of cardiovascular experts performed a life-saving procedure that allowed for less invasive treatment and an easier path to recovery. From comprehensive care to digital health, we're leading the way in heart health for the Gulf South and getting patients back to the people who depend on them most. Learn more at ochsner.org/cardio. Ochsner, innovating healthcare for Rochelle. After learning Rochelle's heart was functioning at only 20%, Ochsner's team of cardiovascular experts performed a life-saving procedure that allowed for less invasive treatment and an easier path to recovery. From comprehensive care to digital health, we're leading the way in heart health for the Gulf South and getting patients back to the people who depend on them most. Learn more at ochsner.org/cardio. Ochsner, innovating healthcare for Rochelle. After learning Rochelle's heart was functioning at only 20%, Ochsner's team of cardiovascular experts performed a life-saving procedure that allowed for less invasive treatment and an easier path to recovery. From comprehensive care to digital health, we're leading the way in heart health for the Gulf South and getting patients back to the people who depend on them most. Learn more at Ochsner.org/cardio. Ochsner, innovating healthcare for Rochelle.
Arizona State.
Between prepping ingredients, setting the table, and planning your tomorrow, sometimes you need an extra hand with dinner. Delta Faucet is here to help. Just ask your connected home device to fill your pasta pot with Delta Faucet Voice IQ technology and fill it with the perfect amount of water. Done. Visit DeltaFaucet.com/VoiceIQ to see how Voice IQ can fill your dog's bowl, wash your hands, and more.
The leading receiver in the game. Blitz is picked up, and Mullins fumbles the football. Washington has it back. Chase Young. They're chasing him down the sideline. And Chase Young has a Washington touchdown. That deserves a wow.
And don't take a sack or a strip sack. What a great job by the Washington football team. Clear up the picture for your quarterback. So you motion out to empty sets so that you can make quick, clean decisions and be decisive.
Go ahead.
And a great job right there by
Deron Payne
stripping the ball away. Chase Young being Johnny on the spot as he's been all afternoon. He comes up with a touchdown for his team.
Boy, he showed some running.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. That audio that you heard was courtesy of the National Football League and Fox Sports, and that was Washington football team's Chase Young scoring a fumble return touchdown in the Week 14 victory over the San Francisco 49ers. And on the program, we're going to have someone that is the co-host of the Burgundy Network podcast, and we're going to talk about Washington's win over San Francisco, and also we're going to talk about Washington's upcoming game against the Seahawks. Let's welcome him to the program, the co-host of the Burgundy Network podcast, Brian Murphy. Hello, Brian. How's everything?
Hey, I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, man. Thank you so much once again for taking time out of your busy schedule on such short notice to be on the program with us. So let's get right to it. The Washington football team, the last 3 weeks has been very good to them. They're on the rise. They're slowly ascending, not just in the NFC East, but you could say somewhat in the NFC, and they definitely showed it winning their third, getting their third victory in a row against the 49ers. Give me your highlights and lowlights from this game.
Yeah, so they have been pretty hot, not just this week, not just the week before, but this entire month, and it really came together for the defense. They dominated that game against the 49ers. The offense wasn't doing a whole lot, and so the defense carried the weight, scoring two touchdowns. Chase Young and Cam Curl scored the two touchdowns, but they were getting after Nick Mullins all afternoon long. He looked like a deer in the headlights, and they were ready to pounce, and they certainly made it happen for the Washington football team, putting them at the top of the NFC East, and like you said, they're right back in it in the wild card race as well.
All right, Brian, so again, you brought up some great points, not just with Chase Young, but also Cameron Curl scored that other defensive touchdown as well. So again, you touched on some good points, and I guess with, of course, the highlight being the defense led by Chase Young and also Cameron Curl, but can you kind of just give me the lowlights from the game, just things that you've seen in your opinion that you were like, that wasn't so good, they need to work on this?
Yeah, I mean, certainly the entire offense. I mean, we saw a couple of decent drives, but the quarterback play, Alex Smith, whether or not he was healthy, I don't know. He just didn't look very good. And then Dwayne Haskins, you know, he had an okay completion percentage, but they're going to need more from their offense moving forward. The defense is really good, and I think they're always going to be pretty solid, but I don't think they're going to be able to score you two touchdowns a game. So the offense has got to give them a little bit more from the quarterback play. We'll see if Alex Smith comes back healthy this week or if it will be Dwayne Haskins. And then the bigger question is Antonio Gibson and how long he'll be out with that toe injury. I just don't think that J.D. McKissic and Peyton Barber will cut it. They definitely need Gibson on the offense. But, yeah, that offense was not anything pretty. Thank goodness for the defense. Otherwise, this could have been real, real ugly last Sunday.
Yeah, rightfully so. And then we'll go on to our next topic now. Let's talk about Washington's offense. Again, you mentioned about the quarterback play, which we'll get to in a little bit. But the running game has really sustained Washington for much of the year. We know Antonio Gibson is currently out with a turf toe, but overall he's been phenomenal this year. He's a candidate for the league offensive rookie of the year. But yet, I like this trio that they've possessed this year on the running in the running department with Antonio Gibson, also J.D. McKissic, and Peyton Barber. Just give me your take on Washington's running game this year.
Yeah, they certainly are a three-headed monster when they're going well. That's what makes me nervous that Antonio Gibson isn't out there, because I don't think it works unless all three are going. They all bring something different. I think J.D. McKissic is the better receiving back out of there, and Peyton Barber gets you your short yardage. And, Antonio Gibson is the bell cow. So if they're not all three going, I don't think it's going to click. But when they are, man, it's something special, and I think it allows Washington control the games a little bit better, to extend drives, to give that defense a rest and allow them to stay fresh. And so the running game was okay without Gibson this past week, but you definitely want him back for the long run and this home stretch. Otherwise, I don't know that they'll be able to run the ball all that effectively with the other two guys.
Yeah, I agree. Antonio Gibson has really been the workhorse. He's currently been the X factor in that offense, or really been the heart of that offense this year, and it all begins and ends with him, and he's been running the ball effectively, and McKissic and Barber are definitely complimentary to him. Now let's talk about the receiving core for a moment. Terry McLaurin is like one of the fastest guys in the league, him along with Cam Sims and of course Steven Sims Jr. on the other receiving core. It's been a while since Washington really has had an effective, like a go-to receiver, really since Pierre Garçon, and then you can say Santana Moss as well. Just give me your take on the receiving core for Washington this year.
Yeah, really, it's Terry McLaurin and then a bunch of other guys that are unknowns. And we've seen some flashes. You mentioned Cam Sims, Steven Sims. Another guy that's been big in a couple of spots has been Isaiah Wright, an undrafted free agent. But there's just a lot of inexperience there outside of Terry McLaurin. And believe it or not, it's only his second year. He seems like a pro that's been in the league for 5-6 years, but he's amazing. But outside of them, you know, there's a lot of question marks. They're getting the job done, don't get me wrong, but you definitely want a little bit more out of the receiver spot, because we saw against Pittsburgh, teams are going to start to game plan and are already game planning for Terry McLaurin. So some of those other guys have to step up. And I think we're going to need some more receivers outside of Terry as the season goes along. But you have to be pleased with the improvement we've seen. I mean, Cam Sims came on, made some spectacular catches, big plays, same with some of the other guys. But outside of Terry, there's not a whole lot of star power. But it's really nice to have Terry, don't get me wrong. He's one of my favorite players to watch, and he just goes about the game the right way, and it's paying off in a big way for Washington.
Indeed, he is. He's one of my favorites to watch as well. One of the fastest guys, as I mentioned, in the league. And another fantastic position that has been highly praised in the NFL for a long time is the tight end position. Travis Kelce, George Kittle, Rob Gronkowski, Jared Cook. Those are just some of the premier tight ends in the league. Of course, you can put Darren Waller from the Las Vegas Raiders. Jordan Reed was an all-world tight end during his time in Washington. He's now playing – he played against his former team now as a member of the San Francisco 49ers. But lately, Logan Thomas has come on strong this year as the team's tight end. Give me your take on Logan at the tight end position this year.
Yeah, I wasn't really sure what to expect from him. I mean, he was a huge guy. I mean, big guy. So you know that he has the skill to – potentially go up and out physical guys for the football, but I wasn't sure what he was capable of doing. But this year he's really kind of put it all together. He's had a great year receiving the ball. I think he's setting career highs as the season goes on. And then as a blocker, he's been huge, just using that big frame to mow a couple guys over. Saw him a couple weeks ago chip somebody and take out three guys at once. So just using his size and kind of boxing guys out has been really fun to watch. I think they said it a couple weeks ago on the TV broadcast that he's no longer a former college quarterback. He's now becoming a professional tight end, and he's really been a huge signing for them. We thought that the tight end position was going to be lackluster from this team, and he's given them some solid production. And despite the receivers being young and inexperienced, he's kind of stabilized that offense in terms of receiving the football. And he's become a huge weapon, and I like that they've used him a little bit out of the backfield and a little bit at quarterback to run some trick plays. It's really opened up the offense a little bit. So I've been really impressed with him. Wasn't sure what I was going to get, but I'm willing to admit that I was wrong thinking that this was kind of a mess signing because it turned out to be really, really, really good.
Yeah, it has paid off big dividends so far for the Washington offense. And what has paid off big dividends for Washington lately is the play of the offensive line. Trent Williams was a standout. He was an all-pro, all-world offensive lineman for Washington. Now he's playing for the 49ers, but they've got some studs on that offensive line. Morgan Moses, Chase Roullier. Also, you could put Brandon Sheriff in there. I mean, those guys have been around for a minute. Just give me your take on Washington's offensive line play so far this year.
Yeah, there were a lot of question marks there. Bringing in a new tackle and Cornelius Lucas, who's really solidified that left side of the line. You mentioned Sheriff and Roullier in the middle there. And then Moses has been there for a long time, and he's really stepped his game up. As the veteran, as the clear leader on that offensive line, he's had a huge year. I think he's played a little banged up, and it just shows how much this team is fighting. But the offensive line has really impressed me so far this year. I mean, they've given up their fair share of sacks, but when they need a yard or two or they need to hunker down a little bit, they're able to do that. The big thing will be moving forward. I mean, Chase Roullier and Brandon Sheriff are both to have the chance to get paid. Will Washington pay them? It remains to be seen. You know, there's some injury history there with Brandon Sheriff, but when he's on the field, he's one of the best guards in the league. So overall, been pretty impressed, especially for a unit that we weren't really sure what we had. And now we're kind of seeing that whole line gel together, and it's going pretty well. Not to mention Wes Schweitzer, which turned out to be a steal and a cheap contract. So the guys are playing well together. They're working well as a unit, and it's definitely going to be key as we go down this stretch in the playoff run.
Well, what's been key for Washington this year has been defense, and they have been outstanding. One of my favorite players is Ryan Kerrigan. He has balled out. And not just Ryan Kerrigan, but also you can add Jonathan Allen, also Deron Payne, Montez Sweat, and, of course, Chase Young, man. I mean, these they showed off in that game against the Niners, and they've been consistent this year. Just give me your take, defensive line for Washington.
Oh, man, you mentioned all the big names. Kerrigan's been there forever, and now that he doesn't have to be there out there every play, he's being more effective in a limited basis and able to come in and make some impact plays. And then you mentioned all the rest of the guys, that front four, front five that they trot out there, a bunch of first-round picks. They're all just making plays. And even when they don't show up in the stat book, they're impacting plays all over the place. They're batting balls down at the line. They're funneling runs back in to let the linebackers make some plays. And then you kind of started to see the stats show up with Montez Sweat with the interception on Thanksgiving and then the batted balls against Big Ben and then, of course, Chase Young with his sack, forced fumble, two pass defended, and a touchdown. The stats are starting to come, and they're starting to build up. And as you mentioned, Payne and Allen, I don't think those guys get enough credit. They're the guys doing all the dirty work in the trenches, blowing offensive linemen off the ball and allowing these guys to get all the flash plays. But I can't say enough about them, and it goes back to coaching with Coach Del Rio, Jack Del Rio. He's put these guys in the perfect position to go after teams and go after the quarterback and just pin their ears back and get after guys. And it's been a huge part of why they've won four in a row and why this month has been so hot. It's been the defense has led the way, and it's fun to watch. And the really awesome thing is outside of Kerrigan, they're all pretty young and they're all on rookie deals or, you know, close to it. So just a lot of fun, and hopefully we're watching it for a long time in Washington.
I hope so, too, man. It's just fun to watch. And, again, along with Kerrigan being that veteran, as you said, he's been there for so long, man. They just complement each other so well. Hopefully they can keep that unit together for a long time. Now, let's get to the linebacker position. John Bostic, he's been around for a while, as well as Thomas Davis. We know his great years that he had in Carolina. But, you know, the linebacker play has been okay from a lot of Washington games I've watched this year. Just give me your take on the performance, in your opinion, from the linebacker core.
Yeah, it's kind of been up and down. We've seen some flash plays from Bostic and from Kevin Pierre-Louis and Cole Holcomb, but it's just not super consistent. I think that's probably the weakest part of the defense is the linebacker play, but they, you know, that front four makes them look a little bit better than they are, but I do have to give them credit. It seems like Bostic is always making a play when you need it. He had the pick to seal the win against Pittsburgh, and we saw Cole Holcomb. I think he had a pick earlier in the year and will make some plays in the backfield. So it's been inconsistent, but if they can put together just a solid performance down the stretch, there's no telling what this defense can do. As far as Thomas Davis, I love watching him in Carolina, and he's a Ron guy, but he's kind of been more of a coach on the field. He hasn't really impacted a lot of actual play, but I think that he's really coaching up these linebackers and telling them where to be and telling the defense where to be, which is honestly just as valuable with so many young guys. So the linebacker position has been quite a roller coaster, but when they're on, they certainly help out. We saw Kevin Pierre-Louis blow up Kyle Juszczyk on a sack, and those are the kind of plays that if they can make that down the stretch, it'll be a huge boost for this defense.
Speaking of a huge boost, man, there were a lot of high hopes for the defensive end in Washington. Of course, Landon Collins, who played several seasons, some productive seasons with the division rival New York Giants. Now he's a part of Washington, got hurt, is on IR. And you could kind of feel it before in the early part of the year for the defensive backs, but they've played pretty consistent as of late with the likes of Kendall Fuller, also Ronald Darby, and as we mentioned earlier with Cameron Curl, and also Fabian Moreau has been solid. Just give me your thoughts on the play of the defensive backs this season.
Yeah, it was really it was interesting. Landon Collins has definitely been a Washington guy. He was a big Sean Taylor fan, so it was really exciting to get him into the team. But before his injury, he was kind of struggling at the safety position. He was solid when he was up near the line, but in coverage, he was missing some angles and missing some things. I think, unfortunately, it was starting to click for him right before the injury. It seems like it always goes that way. But you're right. Some of the other guys have stepped in really nicely. Cam Curl, Jeremy Rees, DeShazer Everett from the safety position especially. So it'll be interesting what they do with Landon Collins moving forward once he gets back healthy, whether they try to keep him at safety, see if it's still working, or kind of do like a hybrid linebacker role. That's a big question mark for the offseason. But right now, in terms of the season, the secondary has been really solid. Kendall Fuller coming back was huge. He is playing like a top corner in the league. Ronald Darby on a one-year deal has been making plays left and right. He's just physical with the receivers, and I think they don't expect it. And all that to be said, didn't even mention Jimmy Moreland, who last year was a seventh round pick, and now is a solid starter in the on the defense. I think the secondary has overperformed probably from what the stat sheets show. You know, a bunch of guys drafted in later rounds, but they're playing like first and second rounders, and it's been huge for the defense. The way that they're able to play physical, they communicate well. You see it all the time if they're pointing things out to each other before the play, and Washington hasn't had that in a long, long time. We've had some solid players, but not a bunch of guys that work well together. And that secondary is similar to the offensive line. They're just gelling well together, and they kind of cover each other's weaknesses pretty well. And they've been able to shut some teams down because of it.
All right. So, yeah, the secondary definitely has made some plays within recent in Washington. Now, of course, with Washington, I want to, Brian, I'd like to get back to the quarterback position. And I'll just be the first to say, I've been a big fan of Alex Smith since his days in college at Utah, and then when he was with San Francisco and Kansas City, and then his arrival in Washington. And people followed him with that horrific injury that he had and making the comeback this year. And just he's definitely going to be a unanimous favorite to win comeback player of the year. Give me your thoughts. Well, actually, this is a several-part question. Question number one. What were your thoughts when you found out Alex Smith was going to be the quarterback for Washington? Number two, what was your reaction to the injury? And number three, what was your reaction to his comeback?
Yeah, I'm just like you, honestly. I was always a fan of his. I always liked watching him play. He just seemed to go about the game the right way. And he struggled to start off his career, and that was probably bad coaching and just a bad team in San Francisco. But to see him come around and just kind of become a winner and just do everything right was really fun to watch from afar. And then so to find out that he's going to be my team's quarterback, I was so excited because he just, whether or not he puts up big numbers, you know you're always going to have a chance. I've heard so many players say he's just so level-headed. He never gets rattled. And he always puts the team in the best spot to win. And Washington hasn't had that in a long time. And we saw that up until the injury. I mean, he had them in a good spot. They were 6-3. And that was the first time they've had that good a record. And I don't know how long. So that was really, it felt like the quarterback position was stabilized for a little bit. Then of course the injury happened and it was traumatic and it was awful. Just to see that kind of thing happen. And just like everybody else, I was watching and kind of reading everything about his recovery and then watching the documentary. It was just unbelievable the fact that he was able to even walk again, much less thinking about practicing or playing and all that. Just an incredible guy. I already liked the guy, but then to see his work ethic and see his determination to get back to where he was, because it wasn't just, you know, a bad leg injury. It was, man, this guy could potentially lose his life if it goes the wrong way. So the fact that he was even thinking about coming back was crazy to me. And then to see him step on the field was just truly a miracle. And the fact that his leg is holding up and he's playing at a solid pace. I mean, it hasn't always been pretty, but he also has been out of football for 2 years. So you can't expect too much, but he, again, like he did a couple of years ago, has stabilized this team. And he has a winning record with the team. I mean, there's something to be said about a winner and about a quarterback who can come in there and make enough plays and make the right plays and make smart plays. And Alex Smith is doing that for them, and he's a huge part of this. And to think that when he hurt his leg that he would play again, I would call you crazy. But to think that he would play again and have his team competing for a division title, I don't think anybody could predict that. And you're right, he's got to be the comeback player of the year. And I think they really got to think about naming the award after him because it doesn't get much more comeback than what he's done. And, man, hats off to him. And I'll be a fan forever, whether he stays in Washington the rest of his career, whether he hangs it up after this year, whether he doesn't play again after this year. I'll always be a fan just because of the man he is and how much he's had to overcome.
Absolutely, man. You said it best right there. Alex Smith, one of the stand-up guys in the league and definitely a stand-up guy away from football and definitely someone that has made a big comeback and a big stride and currently is the quarterback for the Washington football team. Let's stay with the quarterback position for a moment. And when I heard that when Ron Rivera became the head coach of the Washington football team, the team traded to get Kyle Allen. And I'll be quite honest with you. When I was very excited when Dwayne Haskins was the starting quarterback at the beginning of the year for WFT. Then when they benched him for Kyle Allen, I was furious. I'll be honest with you. I was furious because I was so into Dwayne Haskins getting the chance. Well, he had his chance his rookie year and year two, hopefully, to continue to improve. Well, Dwayne was benched. Kyle gets in. He gets hurt in the Giants game, and then Alex comes in, and he is currently becomes the starting quarterback. Now, he suffers an injury, but just kind of give me your thoughts on the quarterback situation in Washington. Going forward, is Dwayne Haskins the answer, or do you think Alex may have two, maybe three more years left, or do you think Kyle Allen could be the one?
Man, those are all great questions, and to really sum it up, I have to say, I don't know. I was really confused by benching Dwayne Haskins early as they did. I thought he was going to get at least half the season to kind of prove himself. I think Ron kind of realized the division was there for the taking, and they just didn't have time to wait on him to come around. That being said, I don't know if the quarterback of the future is on this roster. There are so many question marks with all three guys, but we'll start with Dwayne. Like, has he figured it out? He looked okay at times in relief of Alex Smith the other day, but you know, his mechanics are still a little funky. Is that something that they can fix? I mean, potentially. I mean, the arm talent is there. You know, he has all the skill set, but can he put it together? That's the big question mark with him. You go to Alex Smith, obviously the health injuries and the age. He's not getting any younger. It's obvious that he, you know, despite the way that he's playing pretty well, that he doesn't move the same way. And can he sustain that for another year or two? Can he be a bridge quarterback for a young guy? I don't know. That's a question mark with him. And then Kyle Allen, the question mark is his health as well. You know, does that leg get fully healed? Do they feel like he gives them the best chance going forward? All that being said, I think that Kyle Allen probably makes the most sense moving forward. He knows the offense. He knows Scott Turner's offense. He was serviceable before he got hurt. It was nothing special, but none of the quarterbacks have done anything special. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's the guy that stays on this roster and potentially starts until they can get a young guy in that they really like. The other two, I just think they have too big a question marks. And I hate it for Dwayne Haskins, like you said. I think that he did everything right. Just think that whether it's the mechanics or whether him not putting it all together, it's just not there. And I don't know that they have the patience to wait on him. And so that's a bummer for him. And maybe a new location is what he needs. But out of all three, if I had to bet, I'd probably bet the most on Kyle Allen being the quarterback that gets through this year and it has a legitimate shot at next year.
Let's stay with the quarterback position for a moment. So we know the New York Jets are going to have the number one pick in the 2021 NFL draft. Somehow, some way, Daniel Snyder and, of course, ownership and management are looking at the quarterback position. And let's say Trevor Lawrence is selected by the New York Jets. Do you think Washington could make a run for Sam Darnold?
I think it could make sense. I mean, I think maybe he could be another guy that could benefit from a change of scenery. I mean, he definitely has the talent to do it. I mean, I think a lot like Dwayne Haskins, you know, for whatever reason, it's just not working out there. And maybe a change of environment, a different voice from a different coaching staff would help him out a whole lot. I certainly think Washington's going to have to go veteran quarterback. I think they're going to have to go that route because I think that they're going to finish too far out of the top 10, assuming they win the division, to get one of these young guys that's going to be able to come in right away and start. So, yeah, I think veteran quarterback would certainly make sense, and Sam Darnold's got to be on that list of guys that they're going to look at and could be intriguing to bring in because, you know, he's a few years removed from having great years at USC, so that's definitely an intriguing name and one that would make a whole lot of sense as long as they feel that he fits the offense. I think that's going to be huge. They got to find a quarterback that is talented but also fits the offense and does what Scott Turner wants the quarterback to be able to do. So a lot of question marks, a lot of things to think about in the offseason in terms of the most important position at quarterback.
Decisions at the most important position in the NFL at the quarterback spot for Washington. All right, now let's move along now, Brian, to Washington's next game against the Seattle Seahawks. The Redskins, I'm sorry, forgive me, WFT, the Washington football team, and the Seahawks have had an interesting rivalry for over a decade now. When I think about Washington and Seattle, the first thing that comes to my mind is that thrilling NFC wildcard game during the RG3 era. We know how that ended. Robert hurt his knee. Kirk comes in, and then Seattle comes in, wins the game, and we know how that went. So Washington and Seattle have had a sustainable rivalry for almost games now. They're going to be playing at FedEx Field in Landover, Maryland. So we know Russell Wilson is a candidate for the league MVP. What do you think Washington's defensive strategy is going to be against Russell Wilson and that Seattle offense?
Yeah, this Russell Wilson's by far the best player that they're going to face, you know, in terms of offense and quarterback play this year. He's ridiculous, and like you said, he's got to be at the top of the list or near it for MVP this year. I'm hoping that they kind of take a page out of the New York Giants playbook. The fact that the Giants were able to slow down that offense, whatever they did to keep them in check, I think the final score was like 17-12. If Washington can do that, I think they'll really have a chance to steal this game. And it goes back to what we talked about a little bit earlier. It's running the football and playing good defense. And I think that's what it's going to take. I think you got to limit the number of possessions of Russell Wilson. You can't let him get out there and have, you know, 40, 50, 60 plays because he's going to put up numbers. I mean, that's just what he does. He always does it. He always finds a way. So they've got to control the clock and they've got to limit his chances. I like the front four for Washington. I think that they can get after him and try to bring him down a few times. I think Seattle's given up I think they're in top five in sacks allowed. So Russell can be brought down. They just got to be – they got to stay in their lanes, because if you let him squeeze out of there, you know he can run, or you know he can run to set up a deep bomb. And that doesn't even bring up some of his weapons and DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett and then the running game they have. So Seattle is a high-powered offense, definitely not one that Washington has faced. And other than Kyler Murray, they really haven't faced a mobile quarterback this season. So it's going to be a big test, and it's going to take a lot. It's going to take them being disciplined and I think staying home. I don't think you try to bring the house on Russell Wilson, or he'll get outside and make you pay. So that front four has got to be strong, which they have in this past month. And that's the key to taking down Russ and the Seahawks.
You mentioned Tyler Lockett and the rest of the receivers. DK Metcalf has been sensational this year. What do you think the secondary can do? What do you think the game plan is for DK Metcalf? What do you think Jack Del Rio is putting together? What type of strategy he's putting together to try to contain DK Metcalf?
Ah, man. I mean, the guy can fly. I mean, he's a freak athlete. He's huge, and then he can run super fast. I think you just got to try to be physical with him. You know, Ronald Darby has been really good at that, at being physical with the wide receiver. Gotten some penalties on him, so that'll be interesting to see if DK can draw a couple of flags on him. But I think just always knowing where number 14 is at is going to be key. And one thing I'll say about Coach Del Rio, about Jack, he always seems to game plan for the offense's biggest weapon. And so it'll be interesting to see how he tries to throw a couple different looks at both Russ and DK, and if he can throw them off their groove a little bit. I think that Fuller and I think that Darby can kind of run with him, but they're definitely going to need some safety help over the top. So I would say be physical with him, but also be ready deep, because you know how much he likes to run that go route and show off his speed. So I think that, you know, I'm not huge into X's and O's as far as being able to break it down, but somehow Coach Del Rio is going to draw something up that confuses them and try to get them off their rhythm. So it'll be interesting to see. It'll definitely be a chess match, because, you know, Pete Carroll and that offense over there, they're gonna have a game plan ready. And so it'll be what can Jack Del Rio and Ron Rivera do to combat it.
All right, let's move to the other side of the ball now. Washington's offense, Antonio Gibson is still going to be out with a turf toe injury, so it's going to be more pressure on J.D. McKissic and Peyton Barber. And, of course, Dwayne Haskins is going to be the quarterback against Seattle. So what do you think Washington's offensive strategy is going to be against Seattle's defense? Because we know Seattle's defense is the worst in the league. They played the Jets last week. We know that they, you know, the Jets, need we say more about the Jets, but what do you think Washington's offensive strategy is going to be against Seattle's defense?
Yeah, it'll be real interesting. It's, Ron Rivera said that he's going to, you know, and Scott Turner, they're going to draw up something to work to Dwayne Haskins' strengths. And I think that would be some quick passing. I think him and Terry connected a couple of times early in the season on slant routes. So I think we're going to see the run game be the focus, trying to get J.D. McKissic, who had a pretty decent rushing attack. I think he averaged like 6 yards per carry in the win over San Francisco. But, you know, getting the ball on the ground and then setting up some play action, allowing Dwayne Haskins to get comfortable back there and get some guys open and get some completions early, because I think that's key for Dwayne, is getting in a rhythm and getting some quick passes underneath to whether it be the running backs or whether it be Terry or, you know, even Logan Thomas. I just think quick passes and establishing the run as best they can. Seattle's defense hasn't been very good throughout the whole season, but over the last month or so, they've played pretty solid. And like you said, that might be due to their competition, the Jets, among other teams. But it's still going to be a challenge. They've still got guys like Bobby Wagner and KJ Wright out there. So, a lot of guys to account for. But I think Dwayne Haskins just needs to get into a rhythm early and get that running game going. And then even the short passes kind of as an extension of the running game will be huge. And that goes all the way back to my main key. And that's, you know, holding onto the football, limiting possessions and really working on that time of possession will be huge against the Seattle defense and huge for Dwayne Haskins to get some confidence under his belt.
All right, so the Washington football team will go up against the Seattle Seahawks. That game will be on Fox Sports at FedEx Field in Landover, Maryland. Just check your local listings for the time in your area. All right, Brian, thank you again for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the program. So tell everybody what you do as the co-host of the Burgundy Network podcast.
Yeah, I'm on the Burgundy Network podcast, Berg Network Pod on Twitter, and then my buddy Josh Taylor is the co-host, and it's just two fans talking about the team and you know, how we see things. We have a preview before the games and after the games, just talking about what happened and what we saw, and just kind of breaking things down. We're also doing a little bit of like draft coverage and kind of talking about some of the bigger prospects as we get closer and closer to the draft as well. So a lot of content that we try to push out, and we love some listeners and love to interact with people on Twitter. So yeah, find us at Burgundy Network Podcast. It's Josh Taylor and me, Brian Murphy. But thank you so much for having me on.
You're welcome, anytime. And again, Brian, tell everybody where they can find you on social media, as well as they can find the Burgundy Network Podcast. And if you have a website, let them know that as well.
Yeah, not really a website, but we are on all over Twitter. It's at Berg Network Podcast. And then I'm at BMurph13, and most of my Twitter feed is all about Washington football and football in general. So follow those along, and you'll find ways to subscribe to the podcast as well.
One last question, Brian. RFK Stadium or FedEx Field? What's the difference?
Oh, man, RFK was rocking back in the day. So that's what I think of when I think of Washington. And so hopefully they can get something like that when they build a new stadium, whether it be near RFK or wherever it is. Hopefully it gets back to that home field advantage that they've lacked for a long time.
Let's stay with the stadium thing for a moment. Is there a possibility that Daniel or maybe the Snyder family could move the team back to D.C.? And if so, because you mentioned that they could build a new stadium, could you give us any more details on that?
I don't know a whole lot. My guess is as good as yours. I know that they're looking at a bunch of different areas, but, you know, being, you know, Washington, D.C., it makes a lot of sense to be in D.C. I think it's just going to depend on where he can find a place, where he can come to an agreement too, and so that remains to be seen. I'm not holding my breath because I feel like it's not going to be for another good 4 to 5 years. So we'll have to see where they end up at. But like I said, I hope that pretty soon that Washington becomes like a Seattle or like a Kansas City, where they have the home field advantage and teams hate to come to play, because I know the passion's there. And once the team starts to get winning again, which I think they'll do under Ron Rivera, it could be a fun place to watch a game once again.
What can you expound just kind of more of, like, is he having any difficulties, or the Snyder family, or should I say, is Daniel having any difficulties in being in Landover or being in Maryland, or do you think he's just listening to the fan base about the possibility of going back to the nation's capital?
Yeah, I think he's just kind of listening, trying to figure out the best business move. And I know that a lot of it has to do with gambling and gambling up there and being able to gamble near the stadium and kind of having a whole experience, not just the football team, but the entire experience of the game and interacting with the team. So, yeah, I don't know about difficulty. I just think that there's just a lot of details to work out. And so I think they're just kind of working on that. But as far as I don't have a lot of insider information. I wish I did, but it sounds like eventually it'll get done. It's just a matter of when and where and the fine print.
Tell you what, man, RFK Stadium, just so fantastic to watch those Washington games back in the day, man. And just FedEx is nice, but, man, nothing like the magic of RFK. So you heard it from him. He's Brian Murphy. He is the co-host of the Burgundy Network podcast. Brian, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on. If ever you want to come back on, feel free to let us know.
Thanks so much. I appreciate your time.
No problem. Thank you again, and we'll be back with more right after this.
The rookie from Arizona State, the leading receiver in the game. Blitz is picked up, and Mullins fumbles the football. Washington has it back. Chase Young, they're chasing him down the sideline. And Chase Young has a Washington touchdown. That deserves a wow.
And don't take a sack or a strip sack. What a great job by the Washington football team. Clear up the picture for your quarterback. So you motion out to empty sets so that you can make quick, clean decisions and be decisive.
Go ahead, go ahead.
And a great job right there by
Deron Payne
stripping the ball away. Chase Young being Johnny on the spot as he's been all afternoon. He comes up with a touchdown for his team.
Boy, he showed some running.
When you're a pro, you got to do a little bit of everything. A little, and even a little. And it helps to have something that works as hard as you do. That's why Valspar has a paint for every job, every room, every time. Valspar, you make it happen, we make it possible. Pros, head to Lowe's today and talk to a pro rep about getting up to 10 free gallons of Valspar through a paint trial program. Exclusions apply. See ValsparPro.com for details. When you're a pro, you got to do a little bit of everything. A little, and even a little. And it helps to have something that works as hard as you do. That's why Valspar has a paint for every job, every room, every time. Valspar, you make it happen, we make it possible. Pros, head to Lowe's today and talk to a pro rep about getting up to 10 free gallons of Valspar through a paint trial program. Exclusions apply. See ValsparPro.com for details.
Regina King for Cadillac Escalade. Let's say you make it to the top. What's next? Relish in the glory of your accomplishment? Okay, sure, for a minute. But then you move forward. Take the 2021 Escalade. Cadillac's newest arrival is more than just a celebration of iconic luxury. It's the most technologically advanced Escalade ever. Because arriving is just the beginning.
The 2021 Cadillac Escalade. Never stop arriving.
After learning Rochelle's heart was functioning at only 20%, Ochsner's team of cardiovascular experts performed a life-saving procedure that allowed for less invasive treatment and an easier path to recovery. From comprehensive care to digital health, we're leading the way in heart health for the Gulf South and getting patients back to the people who depend on them most. Learn more at ochsner.org/cardio. Ochsner, innovating healthcare for Rochelle.
Regina King for Cadillac Escalade.
Let's say you make it to the top. What's next? Relish in the glory of your accomplishments? Okay, sure, for a minute. But then you move forward. Take the 2021 Escalade. Cadillac's newest arrival is more than just a celebration of iconic luxury. It's the most technologically advanced Escalade ever. Because arriving is just the beginning.
The 2021 Cadillac Escalade. Never stop arriving.
When you're a pro, you got to do a little bit of everything. A little, and even a little. And it helps to have something that works as hard as you do. That's why Valspar has a paint for every job, every room, every time. Valspar, you make it happen, we make it possible. Pros, head to Lowe's today and talk to a pro rep about getting up to 10 free gallons of Valspar through a paint trial program. Exclusions apply. See ValsparPro.com for details.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Once again, we'd like to send a big special thank you to Brian Murphy, who is the co-host of the Burgundy Network podcast. The podcast is dedicated to highlighting the Washington football team content. So, again, big special thank you to Brian from the Burgundy Network podcast. All right, now it's time for a preview of Week 15's most important games. Let's start off with tonight's game on Thursday night between the Los Angeles Chargers going up against the Las Vegas Raiders. The Chargers had a come-from-behind win over the Atlanta Falcons. Michael Badgley kicked the game-winning field goal. Justin Herbert played an effective game in that one. The Chargers' defense was impressive, and they were able to get the victory over the Atlanta Falcons. As for the Las Vegas Raiders in Week 14, the Raiders had a the Raiders had a bye week in week four. I'm sorry, the Raiders lost a tough one to the Indianapolis Colts. They were embarrassed, 44-27, and they have another home game tonight in Las Vegas against the Los Angeles Chargers. Now, man, this is a classic AFC West rivalry game between the Chargers and the Raiders. The Chargers, they've got their quarterback set for the future with Justin Herbert. The Chargers won't make the playoffs this year. The Raiders, for the moment, are in the hunt for a wild card spot. So the Raiders have a lot to play for. They have to win out the rest of the way in order to have a chance to be considered for the wild card spot. Derek Carr has been effective this year. Josh Jacobs has been all-out balling this year in the running game department. How about the passing game with Nelson Aguilar and, of course, with Darren Waller at the tight end position? Henry Ruggs is on the COVID-19 reserve list, so, you know, they're going to ask a lot more out of Nelson in this game tonight against the Chargers. Also, they're going to expect a lot out of Hunter Renfrow, so this should be the Chargers and Raiders. This should be an exciting game. The Chargers, of course, they always bring it, and the Raiders, they bring it as well, but when these two teams meet, it's always magic. It's always dynamite in tonight's game between L.A. Chargers and the Las Vegas Raiders. Next game that we have is the Carolina Panthers going up against the Green Bay Packers. Carolina lost a tough one to the Denver Broncos. They won't have Christian McCaffrey for this game. This is going to be the 10th game he's going to miss this year. Christian McCaffrey is the engine that makes Carolina's offense run, and when they felt it, since he's been hurt, they have really felt the pinch of him not being in the lineup this year, and it's really affected them in so many ways, because when McCaffrey gets in and runs the ball and he gets going, it makes plays happen for Teddy Bridgewater and DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson and the rest of that Panther offense. Unfortunately, that hasn't been the case this year, and they're going to go up against a tough opponent in the Green Bay Packers. And they're going to be playing at Lambeau Field. Aaron Rodgers, I mean, the Packers are at the peak of their powers right now. They're playing some great ball right now. For the moment, if I'm not mistaken, in the current updated NFC playoff picture, I want to say Green Bay is currently the number one seed. I'm going to have to check that in just a moment, because I know the Saints had it before the loss to the Eagles, and I know the Packers beat the Saints earlier in the year, so the Packers own the tiebreaker in that one. But nevertheless, this is going to be a rematch of last year's thrilling game at Lambeau when it snowed towards the end of that game. So this is going to be interesting. I mean, there's going to be some fireworks in this game. Carolina is going to be bringing it with Teddy Bridgewater and, of course, Aaron Rodgers, who's at his best right now. And give credit to Aaron Jones, the tight end Robert Tonyan. Also, you've also got, Devontae Adams, one of the top receivers in the league right now. So this is going to be an exciting game between the Panthers and the Packers. Should be exciting. Next game is going to be the Chicago Bears going up against the Minnesota Vikings, an NFC North rivalry game. The Bears and the Vikings have been playing for like forever, and the rivalry continues, man. Chicago put on an amazing performance against the Houston Texans. It was no competition, and I tell you what, the Bears defense, they played great. Mitchell Trubisky, he did his part. He was effective in this game. David Montgomery played out of his mind in this game. It was an outstanding performance from him. The Bears defense were able to neutralize Deshaun Watson in Houston's offense. It's been a horrible year for Houston. The Bears, they're trying to stay alive in the hunt for a wild card spot. And Allen Robinson played well, and everybody did their part in this game. Well, everybody on both sides of the ball for the Bears did their part against the Texans. Now Chicago, they got to travel to Minneapolis to take on the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings, they've got a lot to play for. Lost to Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and Kirk Cousins, he's been good this year. Dalvin Cook, the second best rusher, the second leading rusher currently in NFL, and they've got Justin Jefferson, who most likely will win Offensive Rookie of the Year. Minnesota, they're coming back home. They got a lot to play for. This is a rivalry game. They have a chance to – they're in the hunt, just like the Bears, for a wild card playoff spot. So Bears and Vikings, this is going to be a dogfight. I expect a lot of offense later in the game. It should be interesting. Next game that we have is the Seattle Seahawks going up against the Washington Football Team. Seattle and Russell Wilson, and that offense, they poured it on the Jets last week. Their passing attack has been phenomenal. Defensively – has been horrible this year. However, the last several games, their defense has picked it up a bit, and they're going up against a team that's red hot lately, and the Washington football team. Dwayne Haskins looks like he could be the starting quarterback, but they're saying that Alex Smith showed up to practice. We'll see how that plays out. Antonio Gibson was also seen at practice. J.D. McKissick may get the start in this one, but how about Washington's defense? Again, as I had with the interview with Brian Murphy, Chase Young, Ryan Kerrick, and Montez Sweat, De'Ron Payne, and a host of others have played great, especially these last three games, and they're going to have that momentum going for them at FedEx Field in Landover, Maryland, Seattle and Washington. I think this is going to be a great game. This could be the show stealer of the week. So pay attention to that one. And the next game that we have is going to be a battle of young quarterbacks with similar skill sets. The Philadelphia Eagles going up against the Arizona Cardinals. Jalen Hurts going up against Kyler Murray. This is going to be Jalen Hurts' second career start. The Eagles put on a very effective performance against the New Orleans Saints. Coming into this game, the Saints had the number one defense in the NFL, and the Eagles, they put him to shame. They put on an effective performance. Jalen Hurts was able to make plays, both throwing and running the ball, using not just his arm, but his athletic ability to make plays as well. Miles Sanders looked great, and the receivers made plays when they had to. The defense probably played its best since the beginning of the year. And they hope to continue this momentum as they head out to the desert to play the Arizona Cardinals. Kyler Murray did what he had to do to get the job done in the win against the New York Giants. However, defensively, they played strong with the likes of Buda Baker and also, you know, Patrick Peterson. So Arizona, again, they got a lot to play for. Arizona, they're in the thick of things in the wild card race. Philadelphia still has a chance to win the NFC East. That division has been bad all year long, but it's still for the taking because Dallas can win it, the Giants can win it, Washington can win it, and Philadelphia can win it. So again, it's going to be up for grabs going into Week 17. So a good game between Philly and Arizona. The next game that we're going to preview could be a preview of this year's Super Bowl. The Kansas City Chiefs going up against the New Orleans Saints. For the Chiefs, they had a come from behind. They were able to hang on to win, to beat the Miami Dolphins now, but they were able to hang on and get the victory. I'm sure Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy, they've gotten with Patrick Mahomes as well as the rest of the offense to make changes, and they're going to have to make changes to go up against a team that has the number one defense in the NFL in the New Orleans Saints with Cam Jordan, David Onyemata, Trey Hendrickson. Also, you could put Malcolm Jenkins in the mix, Marshawn Lattimore, and Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. Now, the Saints were embarrassed. Their defense was embarrassed by rookie Jalen Hurts, and they're going to have – I know one thing, Dennis Allen is going to have a strategy unlike no other to go up against the best quarterback in the league right now, and that's Patrick Mahomes and that offense. So Kansas City, New Orleans, Chiefs, Saints, maybe a preview of the Super Bowl is going to be outstanding. So that's going to be a show stealer. That's going to be one heck of a game. And we've got the Sunday night game. This is the flex game. It was originally supposed to be 49ers and Cowboys, but the league flexed it out, and it will be the Cleveland Browns going up against the New York Giants. Cleveland is chomping at the bit right now. They lost a tough one on Monday night to the division rival Baltimore Ravens. So Cleveland's got a lot to play for. They're going to march into the New Jersey Meadowlands with something to – a lot to play for, because Cleveland has a chance, a small chance to win the AFC North. I know Baker Mayfield's going to be ready. We know Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, they're going to bring it in the running department. Jarvis Landry has been great. He's really stepped up his game since the injury to Odell Beckham Jr. Donovan Peoples-Jones has played nice. So it's going to be interesting how Cleveland plays against this Giant defense. I know the Giants got embarrassed. The defense, well, everybody was embarrassed, especially the defense got embarrassed by the Arizona's running game, and they're hoping to contain Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt in this contest. So it's going to be a Sunday night showdown. The Giants haven't had a Sunday night game in almost 2 years since the Eli Manning era. And Cleveland They haven't been on Sunday night, I want to say, in over a year. I could be wrong on this, but it's been a minute since they've been had a Sunday. I think it may have been a year since they've been on Sunday night, but it's the flex game, and it's the Sunday night matchup between the Cleveland Browns and the New York Giants. And on Monday night, we've got the Pittsburgh Steelers going up against the Cincinnati Bengals. Again, another division game, division rivalry game in the AFC North. The Steelers were embarrassed last Sunday night in the hands of the Buffalo Bills. I think this is going to be a game where they're going to get retribution. I think Big Ben is destined for a big game in this one. James Conner, they said he suffered an injury. We don't know his status for this game. We know Benny Snell Jr. has got a sizable portion of the carries in the running department this year. And, you know, I think this is a game where Big Ben this is his comeback game. The last two games, he hasn't really played his best. But I think this is the game where he's going to show, you know what, I'm not done. I deserve to be an MVP candidate. And the Steelers are a Super Bowl favorite. And they have to go up against a Joe Burrow-less Cincinnati Bengals. Cincinnati, everything was on the up and up, similar to Cleveland. But Joe Burrow suffered the injury, and Cincinnati just were manhandled. They got manhandled by the Dallas Cowboys, and defensively they had no answers. Offensively they had no answers, and they're going to have a tough task ahead of them against Big Ben and the Pittsburgh offense. And it's T.J. Watt and also, you know, Cameron Hayward and Stephon Tuitt. I mean, Pittsburgh, this is really going to be a comeback game for them, and that's the Monday night game between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cincinnati Bengals. All right, coming up next, I'll have my game of the week. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to the NFL Wrap-Up.
When you're a pro, you got to do a little bit of everything. A little. A little. And even a little. And it helps to have something that works as hard as you do. That's why Valspar has a paint for every job, every room, every time. Valspar. You make it happen. We make it possible. Pros, head to Lowe's today and talk to a pro rep about getting up to 10 free gallons of Valspar through a paint trial program. Exclusions apply. See ValsparPro.com for details. When you're a pro, you got to do a little bit of everything. A little. A little. And even a little. And it helps to have something that works as hard as you do. That's why Valspar has a paint for every job, every room, every time. Valspar. You make it happen. We make it possible. Pros, head to Lowe's today and talk to a pro rep about getting up to 10 free gallons of Valspar through a paint trial program. Exclusions apply. See ValsparPro.com for details.
Hey, Sarah.
Oh, my gosh, you're so cute. How do you know
Cam? Come on, Donovan, do it like I taught you.
Love the new tattoo, sir. Let's go!
Dude, that's Sarah. The girl in the pink shirt, that's the girl I was telling you about.
Oh, that's Sarah?
Theater 2 on your left. Hey, Sarah. What color underwear today?
Hey, Sarah, so when are you going to post something new?
Anything you post online, anyone can see. Family, friends.
See you later, Sarah.
Even not so friendly people. Think before you post.
After learning Rochelle's heart was functioning at only 20%, Ochsner's team of cardiovascular experts performed a life-saving procedure that allowed for less invasive treatment and an easier path to recovery. From comprehensive care to digital health, we're leading the way in heart health for the Gulf South and getting patients back to the people who depend on them most. Learn more at ochsner.org/cardio. Ochsner, innovating healthcare for Rochelle.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Now it's time for my game of the week. My game of the week is going to be, as I mentioned earlier, could possibly be a preview of this year's Super Bowl, the Kansas City Chiefs versus the New Orleans Saints. For the Kansas City Chiefs, They're the defending Super Bowl champions. They picked up right where they left off at. Patrick Mahomes is playing at a high level again this year. Their offense got even better when they drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire out of LSU. He's provided a spark with the running game, and then with Le'Veon Bell being added, he's added another dimension to their offense as well. Tyreek Hill, what can you say about him? He's phenomenal in his own right. Travis Kelce is playing great. For the most part, the offensive line has played well this year. However, they had some chinks in the armor in last week's game against the Miami Dolphins. So with the Chiefs' offense, this is going to be a tale of two teams. Whatever the Chiefs have done this year on the offensive side, the New Orleans Saints have done tremendously on the defensive side. Currently coming into this game, they'll have the number one defense in the league. Cam Jordan has played at a high level, definitely deserves a mention for Defensive Player of the Year. Also, you can talk about DeMario Davis, who's been an all-world linebacker the last couple of years for the Saints. He deserves some mentioning for the League Defensive Player of the Year. Also, Alex Anzalone's played well, David Onyemata, also Trey Hendrickson. They have played at a high level. Malcolm Jenkins has played practically every down this year for the Saints. So defensively, the Saints have played well. I mentioned about Patrick Mahomes and the quarterback play. Quarterback play has been well at the beginning of the year. Drew Brees played nicely. He was effective, and then he suffered the devastating rib injury as well as the collapsed lung in the San Francisco game. Taysom Hill. Is the Swiss Army knife. He's the utility player. Now, we saw what Taysom did against the Eagles and got off to a slow start, just never was able to really get it going in the game. He got it going late, but it was a too little too late type of situation. I'm still a little upset that Sean Payton did not make Jameis Winston the starting quarterback in the absence of Drew Brees. But you know, he's ranted and he's raved about Taysom Hill and the skills and things of that nature. So will Taysom Hill be the future of the franchise for the New Orleans Saints as their quarterback? It remains to be seen. But Taysom and his team, they've got a tough task going up against the juggernaut known as the Kansas City Chiefs with Mahomes, Hill, Kelce, and the list goes on and on. It's a team that is definitely at the peak of their powers right now. They're fun to watch. They've been fun to watch, and the New Orleans Saints have been fun to watch as well. The Kansas City Chiefs versus the New Orleans Saints, my game of the week. Coming up next, I'll have my picks for Week 15's most important games. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to the NFL Wrap-Up.
After learning Rochelle's heart was functioning at only 20%, Ochsner's team of cardiovascular experts performed a life-saving procedure that allowed for less invasive treatment and an easier path to recovery. From comprehensive care to digital health, we're leading the way in heart health for the Gulf South and getting patients back to the people who depend on them most. Learn more at ochsner.org/cardio. Ochsner, innovating healthcare for Rochelle. After learning Rochelle's heart was functioning at only 20%, Ochsner's team of cardiovascular experts performed a life-saving procedure that allowed for less invasive treatment and an easier path to recovery. From comprehensive care to digital health, we're leading the way in heart health for the Gulf South and getting patients back to the people who depend on them most. Learn more at ochsner.org/cardio. Ochsner, innovating healthcare for Rochelle.
When the weather outside is frightful, the Hyundai Santa Fe is, delightful. Because it's got available H-Track all-wheel drive to make being out together better. Enter for your chance to win the newly redesigned Santa Fe, packed with all the jingle bells and whistles you need to go dashing through the snow together. To enter, visit amazon.com/Hyundai or scan the QR code on specially marked red and green Amazon boxes. No purchase necessary. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Get it. Get it.
Get it.
Get it.
Get it.
Daddy?
She'll get it.
Get it.
When you bring home a Goodwill fine, you give your whole town a reason to celebrate because you're also funding local job training and placement programs in tech, healthcare, and more. Goodwill. Bring good home.
As you make plans this season, consider convenient COVID-19 testing from Quest. Get the same test hospitals use without a doctor visit. Simply order online, select from drive-thru or at-home options, and get the results sent securely to your phone or computer. It's a great fit for your busy life. With over 20 million COVID-19 tests processed, you can count on Quest. So order your test today at QuestCOVID19.com. That's QuestCOVID19.com.
After learning Rochelle's heart was functioning at only 20%, Ochsner's team of cardiovascular experts performed a life-saving procedure that allowed for less invasive treatment and an easier path to recovery. From comprehensive care to digital health, we're leading the way in heart health for the Gulf South and getting patients back to the people who depend on them most. Learn more at ochsner.org/cardio. Ochsner, innovating healthcare for Rochelle. After learning Rochelle's heart was functioning at only 20%, Ochsner's team of cardiovascular experts performed a life-saving procedure that allowed for less invasive treatment and an easier path to recovery. From comprehensive care to digital health, we're leading the way in heart health for the Gulf South and getting patients back to the people who depend on them most. Learn more at ochsner.org/cardio. Ochsner, innovating healthcare for Rochelle.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. And now it's time for my picks for the most important games of Week 15 in the NFL. Let's start with tonight's game between the Los Angeles Chargers and the Las Vegas Raiders. I think this is going to be a great game, but I think Las Vegas will bounce back. I like the Raiders to beat the Chargers. Great game at Lambeau Field, I expect, between the Carolina Panthers and the Green Bay Packers. I like the Packers to continue their hot streak. Green Bay will win. NFC North matchup between the Chicago Bears and the Minnesota Vikings. Again, this is going to be a great game, but I like the Vikings to beat the Bears. The Seattle Seahawks are going to be against the Washington football team. This is going to be a close game than what people are expecting. But, again, I think Russell Wilson and his experience, he'll find ways to crack the armor in Washington's defense. I like the Seahawks to win that game. Philadelphia and Arizona, the Cardinals. It's going to be a tight game. Kyler Murray will have an effective game, but I think they're going to the Eagles are going to continue to get hot under the hand with the play of Jalen Hurts. I like the Eagles to beat the Cardinals. Chiefs and Saints, my game of the week. This is going to be a good game, but I like Mahomes and company to win that game. I like the Chiefs to beat the Saints. Sunday night, the Cleveland Browns going up against the New York Giants. This is going to be actually a pretty decent game. I think it's going to be a low score. I think we're going to see points maybe scored late in the fourth quarter, but I like Cleveland to win by a field goal. I like the Browns to beat the Giants. And on Monday night, this is a comeback game for the Pittsburgh Steelers as they take on the Cincinnati Bengals. Hands down, I think this is going to be a blowout. I like the Steelers to win. So, again, my winners for this week will be Raiders, Packers, Vikings, Seahawks, Eagles, Chiefs, Browns, and Steelers. So there you go. And those are my picks for Week 15's most important games in the NFL. Before I get on out of here, again, I want to like to send a big special thank you to Brian Murphy, the co-host of the Burgundy Network podcast. The podcast is dedicated to all things Washington football team content. And thank you so much for tuning in on another exciting edition of the NFL Wrap-Up. I'm Ed Robinson saying so long, and we'll talk to you again next week right here for another exciting edition of the NFL Wrap-Up. So long, everyone.
Regina King for Cadillac Escalade.
Let's say you make it to the top. What's next? Relish in the glory of your accomplishments? Okay, sure, for a minute. But then, you move forward. Take the 2021 Escalade. Cadillac's newest arrival is more than just a celebration of iconic luxury. It's the most technologically advanced Escalade ever. Because arriving is just the beginning.
The 2021 Cadillac Escalade. Never stop arriving.